Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः पञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। So wonderful that Srila Prabhupada gave us this song, Jai Radha Madhav. Once I was in a Vrindavan. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? Okay, so not everyone. So Vrindavan is a very magical place. Of course, Krishna eternally lives in the Vrindavan of the spiritual world. But it's said that that spiritual world of Vrindavan comes down to this earthly planet. And in this earthly planet, that Vrindavan is known as Boma Vrindavan. So now is Kartik. And many in a normal year, of course, what's a normal year in the material world? There is no normal. But usually at this time of year, everyone would go to Vrindavan and they would go to all of Krishna's places where he performed his pastimes and they would become inspired. So one year we had gone to Vrindavan and then I was leaving Vrindavan, and the day before I was leaving Vrindavan, there was one sadhu. And he asked me, what are you doing? So I said, I'm going home. He said, but this is your home. I said, no, I live in London and I have to go back tomorrow. So he was not impressed with that. He said, Vrindavan is your home. And then he looked at me and he said, all reality outside of Vrindavan is a dream. And all dreams in Vrindavan are a reality. So that was very nice. Of course, I still ended up taking my flight back to London. But this is actually what it actually is, that Vrindavan is reality. Everything outside of Vrindavan is just a transitory place. And we're just passing through this world for some time. And Srila Prabhupada gave us this song before we begin any discourse on any of the scriptures to remind us that, yes, Vrindavan is our ultimate destination. And Srila Prabhupada said this song, Jaya Radha Madhav, it paints the perfect picture of the spiritual world. He said, Krishna is there, Radharani is there, Krishna's parents are there, Govardhan Hill is there, Yamuna is there. All these transcendental places are there, and therefore in this one song, you capture the entire beauty of Vrindavan. And so every day when we sing this song, it's a very significant meditation, because it's a meditation in which we remember where we're all meant to be going. We're just on a transit at the moment. And our real destination is Vrindavan. So we're very grateful to Srila Prabhupada who gave us this song. And I think it was in 1971 that Srila Prabhupada first taught the devotees this song. And the devotees explained that Srila Prabhupada sang it one morning. And then the next morning he sung it. And I think on the third morning that he sung it, Srila Prabhupada was singing Jaya Radha Madhav. And as he was singing, his eyes were closed. And at one point in the song, a teardrop fell from his eye and he could not continue singing. Because Srila Prabhupada was not just singing a song, but Srila Prabhupada was entering that reality of Vrindavan, where every devotee's heart is in Vrindavan. Sometimes they have this t-shirt, isn't it? I lost my heart in Vrindavan. So, one time Jayadvaita Maharaj saw one devotee with that t-shirt, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. He said, I hope you lost it to the right person. If you lose your heart to Krishna in Vrindavan, then that's a great success. So, there's some questions that you'll ask, or is it open forum if anyone has any question?
I can see hand going up behind you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure.
I had this question for a while. You mentioned Vrindavan. And so my question is, Prabhupada gave us a goal, and he's bringing us to the lotus feet of Krishna. But also in Shastra is explained that the spiritual world is three times bigger than the material world. This is just a quarter of creation. So from that you can understand there's plenty of universes and planets where we can go in the spiritual sky beyond birth and death. So a question that I'm still not 100% resolute is, why are we going to Vrindavan? We can take a plane or a train to thousands and millions of planets where Krishna is in his endless forms. Why do we choose this one? All those destinations are beyond suffering. So why Vrindavan?
Thank you, very nice question. So in the spiritual sky, there are so many planets and Krishna is there in many, many forms. You can go to Vaikuntha, you can go to Ayodhya where Krishna is in the form of Ram. You can go to, there's Dwaraka in the spiritual world, there's Mathura. Why to Vrindavan? What's so special about Vrindavan? Vrindavan is very, very special because the residents of Vrindavan don't love Krishna because he's God. They love God because he's Krishna. In other words, in Vrindavan, Krishna's sweetness, Krishna's charisma, Krishna's character, Krishna's enchanting nature takes over to the unlimited degree. In Vrindavan, you will find the most intimate, the most profound, the most heart-touching exchanges between the soul and God, because in Vrindavan there is no reverence, there is no ritual, there is no tinge of even respect. All of those things are sidelined, because the thing that comes to the front is Krishna's sweetness. So God is great, but God is also very, very sweet. So in other places in the spiritual world, the sweetness of God is there, but still the greatness is there. But in Vrindavan, the greatness is taken out of the equation, and only the sweetness remains. So everything culminates in sweetness, isn't it? Even when you take a meal, generally you would not eat all of the sweets first. You would leave the best till the last, because then you can relish it in its greatest form. So in the same way, the culmination of spiritual love is in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan sweetness predominates, and it's sweetness that we seek. Anyone else would like to? Yes,
please. Yes, I have a question. Comment du coup tous les humains pourraient aller à Vrindavan? Parce que c'est, j'imagine que c'est une ville et que c'est pas éternellement, enfin c'est pas immensément grand. Du coup, il faudrait accueillir tous les humains, parce qu'ils sont tous sur Terre. Et la question que j'ai.
Everybody, all the human beings come to us, because we are very, very...
There's many of us.
Many of us.
How will we fit all there?
Can Vrindavan.
Is that the question?
Everybody go to Vrindavan.
How can everyone go there? Vrindavan, maybe you have seen a picture. Vrindavan is explained to be like a flower. And maybe you see sometimes they have like what you call a time-lapse video. So if, and a flower like blossoms like this, opens up. So Vrindavan, everything in Vrindavan is living. Everything in Vrindavan is expanding. Here you see this picture of Krishna and Balaram and many cows. In Vrindavan, in the transcendent Vrindavan, it said that Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows. And some cows are black, some are white, some are yellow, some are red. And in those four colors, there are 25 further divisions. So like this, there are 100 herds of cows. And then there are another 8 special herds of cows. Cows that have spots. Cows that have specks. Cows that have heads shaped like mridangas. Cows that have natural tilak. There's 8 more special groups. So like this, Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows. There are 108 herds of cows. And Krishna has japa beads, which have 108 beads to count all of the herds. And when Krishna wants all the cows to come back, then the first thing he does is he plays his flute. And if the cows don't come back, then the second thing he does is he blows his buffalo horn. And if they still don't come back, then he goes out with the stick. And Krishna knows the name of every single cow. So who can estimate the limits of Vrindavan? Remember, all reality outside of Vrindavan is a dream. And all dreams inside of Vrindavan are a reality. So because we see the world through the limited perception of our mind and senses, we constantly limit our conception of the spiritual reality. But the spiritual world is the land of unlimited possibility, unlimited opportunity. And so I was explaining that the spiritual world is like a lotus. So sometimes Krishna, in the morning, he is in one place, and then within half an hour, 30 minutes, he needs to get to the other side of Vrindavan. So what happens is Vrindavan goes like this. So Krishna doesn't have to walk such a long way, just with a few steps, he's in the place he wants to go to. So that means who can understand Vrindavan? It's always moving, it's always changing, it's always expanding. Vrindavan is a land which exists to facilitate Krishna's desires. Vrindavan is not a land which is just inert. It's a land which is moving. Govardhan Hill is a mountain, and when the weather is a little bit cold, then the mountain becomes soft so that Krishna and his feet won't get hurt on the cold surface. And when it's summertime, then Govardhan Hill becomes harder and more cool, so it will be cooling for Krishna's feet. It's always changing. So, Chintamani Prakarasadma Sukalpa Riksha. It's the Chintamani means it's the place which is fulfilling all desires. So, my answer contains no logic whatsoever. I have not given you a logical answer because Vrindavan is beyond the realms of logic. Words cannot explain Vrindavan. Okay, let me give you an example. I'm going to ask all of you a question and you tell me what your answer is. Okay? Who comes first? The father or the son? Please answer. Who comes first? Who comes first? The father or the son? It's a simple question. Don't think too much.
No, it's very...
No, but who comes first?
The father.
The father.
The father.
Obviously, isn't it? Obviously, the father comes before the son. Agreed? Everyone agree? 100%? Father must come before the son. You're all wrong. You're all wrong. Because until the son is born, the man is not a father. He's just a man. But the moment the son is born, he becomes a father. So now let me ask you again. Who comes first, the father or the son?
The son.
The son, he's changed that. The son, he says. I could sit here and tell you the father comes before the son. And it's true. I could also sit here and tell you the son comes before the father. And it's true. That means even in the material world, words are insufficient to explain everything. Words are very limited. Yet we're speaking and speaking. Yet some things can only be understood through deeper perception. So that doesn't mean we don't use words. That doesn't mean we don't use philosophy. That doesn't mean we don't use logic. However, we must understand that it has its limits. Therefore, the Vedanta Sutra says, logic and argument are insufficient to understand the absolute truth. Anyone else? I'd like to ask.
How you came to Krishna consciousness, what inspired you to join at the age of 21 as a brahmachari?
Because living in London, it's you know, you have everything in the world to, you know, experience and achieve.
I mean, my life is not so interesting. I'll tell it very quickly. It's not an amazing story. I'm sure other devotees have much more incredible stories than me. In a short way, when I was 16, yeah, maybe 16, I began to question life, question meaning, question purpose. I began to read different scriptures of the world, the Bible, the Quran. And I also felt as though I should read the Bhagavad Gita because that's the tradition in which I grew up. So I read the Gita when I was 16, and I remember one day my friend gave it to me. I went home and I was sitting there with the Bhagavad Gita thinking, oh my God, now I'll open this book and all the truths of the eternal reality will be revealed to me. So I opened the book, I read one page, and I closed it because I became completely confused. I didn't understand anything.
Prabhupada's Gita?
Yeah. I couldn't understand anything. However, although I didn't understand it, when I read it, something told me there is some profound wisdom here. It's just that I'm not able to understand it. So that was when I was 16, and then I began reading more. And then when I was 18, I went to university. And I lived away from home. And I tried to enjoy life. And failed. by the time I was 19, actually, 1 year into university, I decided I need to explore my spiritual path. I need to go traveling. But the devotees convinced me that I should finish at least my university degree. So when I was 21 and I graduated, I worked for 2 months just to get enough money together to go to India. And then I went to India when I was 21. And I traveled around India for 6 months and went to many holy places, many ashrams, different ISKCON temples, and then when I came back, my parents were thinking I was going to get a job now, and I told them I need a little bit more time just to find myself, and so I joined our temple in London, Bhaktivedanta Manor, when I was 21, and I stayed there for a year, and then 1 year became 2, became 5, became 10. And now my parents don't ask me anymore, when are you coming back? that's my journey. Not such an amazing story, but in another way, yes, amazing. We all have amazing stories. Because we all somehow or other got in contact with Srila Prabhupada. And that's an amazing fortune. I'll tell you an amazing story. There were two boys in America. Their names were Keith and Howard. And they decided at one point that they needed to develop their spiritual life. And for that, they needed to find a guru. So they thought, what better place to go to find a guru than India? So they booked a ticket to go to India. And that ticket was on a cargo ship. And that cargo ship was called the Jaladuta. And they booked a ticket to go to India on a ship called the Jaladuta. Now the amazing thing is, a few days before they were supposed to go to India on the Jaladuta came into America. And on the Jaladuta was a great sadhu. And that sadhu's name was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He came to America on the Jaladuta, he stepped off the ship, and 3 days later, Keith and Howard got onto the same ship to go to India to find a guru. They made it to India. They traveled around. They went to the Himalayas, here, there, everywhere. They met many sadhus. And after a year, they came back and they said, "We met many sadhus, but we never met anyone we thought is our guru." And then one day, Howard was walking down the street in the Lower East Side. And he saw a guru. He saw a sadhu in saffron robes. And in his mind he was thinking, "I didn't take any drugs today, but this looks like a hallucination. I just came back from India where I was trying to meet all the gurus. Who's this?" He bumped into Srila Prabhupada. He looked at Srila Prabhupada and said, "Are you from India?" Prabhupada said, "Yes." Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Are you from India?" He said, no, I'm here, I'm a New Yorker. "But I've just been to India. I'm looking for a guru." Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, just come to 26 Second Avenue on a Wednesday evening. We have a Bhagavad Gita class there." And Howard and Keith came to that Bhagavad Gita class, and eventually they became Hayagriva and Kirtanananda. Brahmande, Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata. You can go here, there, and everywhere to try and find the Guru, but it's only when you get Krishna's mercy. Mahaprabhu had come back to Navadvip as a devotee, chanting in ecstasy. Now, when you see the picture of the Panchatattva, then there is Mahaprabhu, there is Nityananda, there is Advaita Acharya, there's Gadadhar, and there's Srivas. Now when Mahaprabhu came to Navadvip, he arrived. Advaita Acharya was already there. Gadadhar Pandit was already there. And Srivas Thakur was already there. The only person missing was Nityananda. Nityananda was in Vrindavan. So he heard, Nimai has come back to Navadvip and now he's chanting and he's in ecstasy and he's become a devotee. So Nityananda Prabhu thought, now is the time for me to go to Navadvip to meet up with all of them. Nityananda came from Vrindavan to Navadvip and he stayed at the home of Nandanacharya. Mahaprabhu was staying somewhere else and Mahaprabhu said, "Nityananda has arrived." He said to Haridas and to Srivas, "Go and find him." They went all the way around Navadvip looking for Nityananda, but they could not find him. Then they came back to Mahaprabhu. They said, "We looked for Nityananda everywhere, but we could not find him." Then Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry, I'll take you." And then Mahaprabhu took them, and you can go to that place today, Nandanacharya Bhavan, Isho Dhyan. And there Nityananda and Mahaprabhu came together. Now this story has a deep meaning. Who does Nityananda represent? Adi Guru. Nityananda represents the Guru. Okay? Who is Srivas Thakur? Narad Muni. Who is Haridas Thakur? Brahma. Who in this entire creation could know the creation better than Narad Muni and Brahma? Brahma created the whole universe. Narad Muni has traveled to every part of the universe. But it doesn't matter if you're the creator of this universe and you know every corner. It doesn't matter if you've traveled this universe and know every corner. Still you will not be able to find Guru unless Krishna takes you to Guru. So when we stop to think, just for a moment, that somehow or other we got in contact with Srila Prabhupada, it's really not a small thing. And therefore, I may sit here and say, story is not that amazing. Definitely I'm not amazing. But each one of our stories is amazing. because we got some causeless mercy. One time they asked Srila Prabhupada, what did we do to have the fortune of becoming connected with you? What pious activities did we perform? Prabhupada said, you didn't. Nothing. You didn't do anything. I was your pious activities. Yes. So, anyway, that's my story.
Why you don't go out to Vrindavan if it's like magic
place? Should go.
I don't know, like, I don't know if I understand it well, but so you said that we go to Vrindavan then after our death. No.
Yeah, okay, so let me explain. There are, Vrindavan is, okay, let's say like this. There are four types of Vrindavan. Okay. There is Vrindavan in the spiritual world. This is known as Goloka Vrindavan. Okay? This is in the spiritual world, Vrindavan, eternal Vrindavan. Then there is the Vrindavan which comes from the spiritual world into this material world, into this earthly world. That Vrindavan you can travel to, you can go there. Of course, you need blessings, you don't, not just an air ticket, but you can go to that place. So that's the second type of Vrindavan, the Vrindavan where Krishna appeared in this world 5,000 years ago. The third type of Vrindavan is the Vrindavan that's created by the vision of a pure devotee. So this is also Vrindavan. Because Srila Prabhupada came to this place and through his devotion, his bhakti, he brought Krishna here. And therefore this whole place, New Mayapur, became Mayapur, Vrindavan, none different. This whole place became Vrindavan. That's the third Vrindavan. The Vrindavan created by the vision of a pure devotee. And shall I tell you the fourth Vrindavan?
Yes.
The fourth Vrindavan is the Vrindavan within your heart. Because Vrindavan is ultimately not just a place, it's a state of consciousness. Now let me ask you, what's the common thing between Vrindavan in the spiritual world, Vrindavan in the earthly world, Vrindavan in this kind of place, and Vrindavan in your heart? What's the one common thing which makes them all Vrindavan? And what about Krishna? Krishna is the center. If Krishna is the center of your heart becomes Vrindavan. If Krishna becomes the center of New Mayapur, this becomes Vrindavan. If Krishna, which Krishna is, the center of Boma Vrindavan, where you go to India, Vrindavan today, so naturally, if you go to that place today, Krishna is the center. Once we were traveling in Vrindavan, and we met this very old lady, she was 80 years old, and she told us what she used to do for her entire life since she was 2 or 3 years old. For her entire life. You know what she would do? Every day when she would wake up from her bed, her eyes would open, and then she'd immediately close her eyes. Then with her eyes closed, she'd come up from her bed with her eyes closed. Then she would touch the wall. Wait a minute. She would touch the wall with her eyes closed and find the door. Then with her eyes closed, she would walk through the door. Then she would walk down the stairs. Then she would go into the front room with her eyes closed. Don't try this at home, you may get injured. And then she would go into the front room, and then she would go in front of the altar, open the curtains, and see Krishna. She said, I did that every single day of my life up until today. Because how can I start a day without seeing Krishna first? So, in Vrindavan, you will see how Krishna becomes so naturally the center of everything. So, why do we go to Vrindavan? Because we want to get inspired by that devotion. We want to get inspired by that dedication. And we want spiritual life to become very, very natural. Spiritual life, this morning we were talked about rules and regulations. Yes, we follow rules and regulations. Yes, we do rituals. Yes, we have to follow some kind of discipline. But ultimately, spiritual life has to become very natural. Krishna is God and Krishna is amazing. And why would you not want to center your whole life around Him? Because there's nothing better. One time a reporter said to Prabhupada, in the morning you sing about Krishna, then later on you speak about Krishna, then later on you write books about Krishna, then later on you build temples for Krishna, then later on you have programs and you tell your people about Krishna, and then you come back and then you say prayers to Krishna. What about at the end of life if there's no Krishna? He said, I would do it anyway. Because the happiness, the joy, the experience of such spiritual love that we experience with Krishna, there's nothing better. So somehow or other, Vrindavan means that place where people love Krishna, not because He's God, but they love God because He's Krishna. Because Krishna is amazing. So that's Vrindavan. And that's why we go to Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Finish the time.
May I ask a last question?
Yeah, sure.
So my question for you is, what is your favorite pastime of Krishna and why?
What is my favorite pastime of Krishna and why? Well, there are many. I won't tell you a pastime, but let me tell you one of Krishna's characteristics that I find amazing. There's one great saint, his name is Bilva Mangal Thakur. I won't tell his whole story, but anyway, through a series of interactions, he decided to go to Vrindavan to try and find Krishna. On the way to Vrindavan, he got attracted by the sight of a beautiful lady, and he became so fearful that his attention may be diverted away from Krishna that he did something unthinkable. Because his eyes had strayed and was deviated by the beauty of this material world, he said, I don't want my eyes to ever trick me. So he took out his eyes and he became blind. And as a blind person, he went on to Vrindavan to try and find Krishna. And he found Krishna. And he wrote many, many beautiful songs and literatures, but one song he wrote was about Krishna, who's a thief. And he wrote 8 verses talking about how Krishna is a thief. Raja prashidam navanita choram gopan gananam chadukula choram aneka janmar jitapapa choram chora graganyam purusham namami. He says, Krishna is the foremost of thieves in Vrindavan. He steals the butter, he steals the clothes of the gopis, and he steals lifetimes of unlimited sinful reactions that have been accumulated by the conditioned soul. I offer my respectful obeisances to Krishna, who's the foremost of thieves. When you allow Krishna into your life, be aware that you are allowing a thief into your life. Krishna may steal your mind. Krishna may steal your attention. And if you're really lucky, Krishna will steal your heart. Krishna may steal many things away from us in our life. When you become a devotee, you realize things seem to be disappearing. Srila Prabhupada was once in Vrindavan in 1958 or 59, and he wrote a poem, Vrindavan Bhajan. And he recited a verse from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, where Krishna says, Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadhanam shane tatodhanam tyajantasya svajana dukadukitam. Krishna says, when I especially favor someone, then I begin to take everything away from that person. It's interesting because sometimes, you know, like you find these traditions like prosperity church, and then people come to the front and they say, I believe in God because when I started believing in God, then, you know, I got the best job, I got my health back, this thing cured. And I was thinking, if we had a Krishna consciousness version of that, the person would come to the front and say, I believe in God because when I worship Krishna, my health went down, I lost my job, my family turned away from me. Because Krishna is a thief. Krishna is a thief. But the most amazing thing is, he's a transcendental thief. So what he does is he takes everything away from you, but then he leaves you with the greatest treasure. Who can understand such a thief? Have you ever met a thief who takes everything away from you and then leaves you with something far more valuable? That is Krishna. So Prabhupada was once lecturing and he quoted this verse and he said, Krishna took everything away. I have personal realization of this verse. And the devotee started chuckling, laughing. Prabhupada said, don't laugh. If it happens to you, you'll be very morose. Because who's ready? We're not ready for that kind of treatment from Krishna. So, one theme that seems to run through the whole of Vrindavan is that Krishna is a thief. And so, I often think about Krishna and how he's a thief. And sometimes I become scared. But then we realize, yes, Krishna may take away, but then he leaves us with the greatest wealth. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnav Seva, Vaishnav Sangha ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Sudha Prabhu ki jai.
We will be giving the Bhagavatam class again tomorrow. Try to be here in the morning again tomorrow. Yes. What is the verse? 8:2.